two of those guys are from the national championship team are still playing. RJ Davis and Amarna Bacot were starters.
Yes, yes, starters on the national championship team, which means a ton.
And the nice thing, too, is on that national championship team, they basically had a five-man rotation. Like, they would sub a sixth guy in, but basically they're all playing the whole game.
Right.
Now they go, like, eight deep. And, like, they have their five guys, but they can rotate people. They have a bench. They can get switch it up.
Yeah.
And that helps just, like, with legs as much as anything else.
Uh-huh.
One of the other starters on that team, Caleb Love, Pac-12 Player of the Year for Arizona, playing Clemson, who basically nobody had at this point. So good for Clemson.
Yeah.
I think Arizona is one of the teams that can win a national championship. I'm really upset I changed my pick to New Mexico. I think Arizona wins comfortably. It's a 7.5-point spread. I would take Arizona, even though that's a lot of points. Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Tuesday, March 26th, a lovely spring day. We're in the middle of the second snowstorm of the day here in Salt Lake City, so I'm really upset about everything, but we push on, Matt. We survive.
We do. Well, I mean, it's been like snows. Yeah, I guess you're outside for more of it, so.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah. It wasn't snowing when I started running. And it was a track workout, so it was, I don't know. It was like half of the workout, I was like, oh, this is fine. And then the half where the wind is blowing in my face, I couldn't even see anything.
Uh-huh.
Or like that part of the, that was annoying. But it is what it is. We got a interesting show to talk about. We're going to talk about all the things we did wrong in the college basketball tournament. It truly has never been this bad for me, but there's still some optimism for us. Washington State is in just a terrible situation. We're going to talk about that, obviously. Top five most overachieving universities in terms of athletics, based on nothing but my subjective opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And we always got to start with the pick of the week.
Yes, we do.
So here's an interesting one, Matt, because I think there's some occasions when this is more than acceptable. But sleeping with your socks on.
Is an ick.
Here's the thing. If it's cold, if you're camping, you almost like have to have socks. I'm not a big sleep with socks on under normal conditions. But like sometimes last week our house was pretty cold. I had some socks on.
Yeah, well, I've actually read that sleeping with socks on is good because you want your body to be cold, right, while you're sleeping. So it seems counterintuitive that you'd wear socks, but if you've got socks on and your feet are warm, your body doesn't need to produce as much heat to warm up the rest of your body. So sleeping with socks on can actually lower your body temperature and help you sleep better.
Why do you want your body to be cold?
Just, I don't know. I feel like people sleep better when they're cold.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me some like scientific.
No, I just think it's hard to sleep if you're too hot is the general scientific consensus.
Me and you both do need it cold.
Yeah.
So that's true.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, I'm once again totally understanding these lists and why they exist. So,
well, apparently, fellas, don't sleep with socks on is my recommendation, according to some random girl from Instagram.
Yeah, not according to science, but according to Instagram.
So, yeah, before we get into the bracket, and I feel like there were a couple other, like, football or baseball things I wanted to bring up. Oh, we probably have – I haven't looked too much in the Shohei thing, so maybe we'll talk about it on a surface level. But it's fascinating. Let's start with Washington State, though, because they're having just a terrible – I think today, maybe just 2 days. So, their awesome game beating Drake in the first round. Close game against Iowa State in the second round of the men's tournament. Lost that game. Stanford hired their basketball coach. Like I think like the day after, a couple days after. So he's gone. And then today, the University of Washington hired Pat Chun, Washington State's AD, who is an awesome athletic director. In my opinion, one of the best in the entire country. Washington's AD was only there for like 3 months. Hired Jed Fish, football coach, fired the basketball coach, and then left. if I'm Washington State, I'm so annoyed and just dejected. Like, because you get it. Like, it's one thing if they're both in the same conference, but Washington's going to the Big Ten and Washington State is in the Pac-2. So, like, objectively, these people have to leave. But right. It still sucks.
Yeah, no, totally sucks. Because if you're Washington State, you're just doing everything you can to try to survive as you're leaving a Power 5 conference. And this just feels like you've lost every opportunity to try to succeed.
And Pat Shone is one, probably the best person to get you through that, the survival guide.
Yes.
And now he's in Seattle.
Yeah, so not ideal for sure.
Not ideal at all. Really sucks. Oregon State, I mean, they lost Jonathan Smith, the football coach. They still have their AD. So, very interested to see what happens. Like, is it just joining the Mountain West? That's realistically kind of the outcome, right?
Yep. I think that's what it's going to be. Because they haven't officially joined yet. They're in some sort of an alliance for a couple of years, right?
They're in the Pac-2 for a couple of years, yeah.
For a couple of years, yeah.
And they're getting money. Like, they're, like, all the Pac-2, I don't know how the revenue sharing works exactly, but, like, the further you go in your tournament, like, conferences get money based off of that.
Yeah.
And I think Washington and Oregon State Washington State and Oregon State are getting all, or at least like a heavy chunk of the Pac-12 revenue from that.
And is that just because contracts aren't expiring or?
Well, yeah, because I think like the other teams left, like forfeited that, but they're still in the conference technically. It's like a weird loophole.
That feels like if I was sponsoring the Pac-2, I would feel like I'd be negotiating a way out of that deal. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm tied and I paid to sponsor the Pac-12 championship, and I'm not going to be paying $40 million to sponsor Oregon State, Washington State.
I was just speaking about, like, because, like, Colorado, when they beat Florida, like, the Pac-12 got money from that because they won.
Yeah, from
the
advertisers or
revenue share. I don't, like, it must be part of the NCAA tournament where, like, the further you go, because, like, the further you go, you're on TV more, so you, that conference gets a certain amount of that revenue share.
Oh, okay. I understand that a little bit more. So, like, for basketball, you know, soccer, some of these other sports, maybe more than football.
Yeah, and I would imagine basketball the most, because that's the only other sport that, like, makes money, basically.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm blanking what other Pac-12 teams are in it. I think the Pac-12 is doing generally good. I'm just, like, Arizona.
Right.
Arizona won both their games, so the Pac-12 got a certain amount of money from that. From what I've read, and if I'm incorrect, someone let me know. But from everything I've read on it, Washington State and Oregon State are getting a big chunk of that money.
Interesting.
Which is nice for them.
That is nice for them. And then, now, will they next year, will either Oregon or Washington be going to the tournament no matter what?
I have no idea. Because football, they're playing, like, mostly Mountain West teams, but, like, they're not in the Mountain West. I have zero clue what they're doing for every other sport.
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope they just have a game.
just see who gets to go?
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun.
That would be intense. I think a lot of people would watch that, if nothing else, just for, like, the comedic purposes of it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hope they should play each other in basketball, like, 8 times.
Oh, that'd be so... I haven't even thought about what they're going to do in the other sports. I've just thought about the football schedule.
Yeah, because there's so many, like, a lot of other sports, like, I don't know, volleyball, BYU is in some sort of a different conference, and track, they were independents, and so there's a lot of things you make work. Basketball's real tough, so yeah. I almost wonder if they're going to accept invites to the Mountain West tournament.
For
basketball, yeah.
That's what makes the most sense to me, is going to the Mountain West for honestly, even football, but especially all the other sports.
Yeah.
One thing, so I was thinking about this from Washington's perspective, because they hired Utah State's head coach, Danny Sprinkle, I believe. But so he's going from Utah State to Washington. He's going to be going to, like, Indiana on a Tuesday and then, like, Michigan State on a Saturday or Sunday or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that is, those flights are long. The Seattle Seahawks every year have the furthest travel, like, out in anyone in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be the same thing for, like, the basketball. Like, I know we've talked about this, but literally every other team, even the football team. But that's a lot of travel for basketball or baseball or softball or volleyball or any sport.
Huge, yeah. For baseball, it's, I mean, I know they can stay in a place and play two or three games, but it just seems crazy.
Think about playing Iowa on, like, a Tuesday night at, like 8 o'clock Eastern or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Then you got to fly back to Seattle after that. And then be in class the next day.
Uh-huh.
And then practice. And then on a few days later, get on another flight to New Jersey. It sucks.
It does suck. Yeah. No, it just doesn't seem sustainable. It feels like we're coming to a breaking point in a lot of ways.
Have we talked about Chip Kelly's idea?
For football? Just do football different from the other sports.
Yeah. Like kinda. Every other sport, it would be like normal, like Pac-12, like normal conferences. And then football, we would just do, like, our own thing, which I don't love from the football perspective, but it's probably a lot better for, like, every other sport if we just make football, like, independent or, like, two power conferences or whatever.
And so you still do revenue sharing, like basketball does it with their conference, but then the football money gets the revenue shared within the power conference or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how it would work because of that, but, like, it's not fair for, like... like the Arizona State soft, I think when the Pac-12 left, a lot of the Olympic sports athletes were talking about, like, I went to this school so my parents could see me play, like, close to home. And now instead of playing, like, Arizona State, the LA schools are super close. U of A is super close, obviously. And I know they're still in the same conference, Utah. But now they're playing, like, Texas and Kansas State and Iowa State and UCF and West Virginia, like, it's just a lot harder. Or, like, Oregon or Washington are going to have the biggest travel job. And or at least Seattle, Washington has an airport. Like, Eugene is kind of hard to get to.
Yes. Yeah, no, that is a little bit. I wonder. I don't know. Yeah, so much of this just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because Eugene, I mean, technically there's an airport, but it's not that big.
Yeah, like, how far of a flight is Hawaii from Los Angeles?
Isn't it 3 or 4 hours?
If it is, that's shorter than a lot of these Big 12 flights.
Are you Googling it or am I Googling it?
I'll Google Salt Lake. You Google Los Angeles.
Okay, to Hawaii?
Yeah.
Okay, LA to Hawaii flight time. Oh, I was wrong. It's like 5.5 or 6 hours.
Okay, yeah. But, like, still, a lot of these flights are going to be 5 hours, 4 hours, you know? So it's not that big of a difference.
Well, I know we use Rutgers as, like, the biggest. Let's use Penn State, because that you have to. I'm not sure they have an airport. They very well might, but everyone I've talked to, it sounds like Penn State's the hardest place to get to in the country. So if you're at Oregon, you got to go to a tiny airport, fly to Pennsylvania, and then probably have, like, a drive through the mountains to get to Penn State.
Right.
Not ideal.
Then you got to drive back, and then you got to go to your classes and fly back. And
or even, like, let's look at it from a Penn State perspective. You fly to Eugene, Oregon, and then you have to red-eye because you're going the wrong – at least the West Coast people, it's going the right way or the easier way.
Uh-huh.
So if you're going back to the East Coast, and a lot of the Big Ten schools are on East Time, like, that's tiring. It's exhausting.
Yeah, I would not be excited about that at all.
Me neither. It sounds miserable. So – yeah, I don't think a lot of things are sustainable.
Yeah, they're going to have to, like, start requiring all professors to record their classes or do Zoom classes or something. Because I feel like if I'm the UCLA, I don't know, golf coach, for example, I just want to keep them on the East Coast for a week.
Well, I think that's, I don't know. I don't know. Did we talk about... Oh, I had something I was going to bring up, and I don't remember. But it was, like, relevant to what we're talking about. So, But honestly, it would be easier just to, like, do Zoom or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet teachers aren't going to be happy with that.
Oh, no, I wouldn't like that at all.
I remember. Did we talk about the Caden Proctor thing last week? Going from Bama to Iowa and back to...
I'm not sure we did.
Okay, so Caden Proctor, I think this is a crazy story. So, true freshman, left tackle at Alabama, started every game. Five-star recruit from the state of Iowa. In high school, had committed to Iowa before he flipped to Alabama. Nick Saban leaves. He enters the transfer portal, goes back to Alabama, gets the NIL money, front row seat to Caitlin Clark games, and then he transfers back to Alabama. That's not sustainable.
No, that's... I would really be interested to look up how this NIL money is going, because I know it'd be hard for him to refund it, but, like, there's got to be... Are there contracts with this NIL money?
Well, Utah has... So someone within the Utah program told me that... I won't name the player, but a player had injury and, like, playing time tied to his NIL money because he'd been injured in the past.
Interesting.
So I would assume that's not unique to Utah.
Well, yeah, just because I feel like he may have got some sort of a signing bonus or something, but I feel like he's obviously not going to get the money that was promised.
Yeah, like Utah, like in the NIL contracts, like I don't remember if it was snaps or games or whatever, but they're like playing time incentives, whereas like in the NFL, it's an incentive as opposed to like guaranteed money, and the player is pretty pissed, but also like he didn't have any other option really.
Right, yeah.
But the Caden Proctor thing, that happened because the Tez Walker situation. Remember the UNC wide receiver who the NCAA didn't give a waiver to and everyone just lost their mind, rightfully so?
Yeah.
So the NCAA, they used to have like, if you transfer, you have to sit out a year after the first one. But they give waivers, but there's no rhyme or reason to who got waivers.
Right.
So then the people didn't get waivers were like, WTF. And then they went to court and the judge was like, you can't do no competes with non-employees, basically.
Right.
So the NCAA would have either just not either made everybody sit out or not or give everybody a waiver. Like, it probably wouldn't have happened, or at least not have happened now. But because the NCAA is one of the worst run organizations.
Uh-huh.
That's why we're in the situation where Caden Proctor can go from three schools within a month. I mean, really two schools, but like one, two, and back to the third one.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And like Tez Walker should have been allowed to play. And I think college coaches make millions of dollars, but it just seems like literally impossible to build and develop and manage and even know who's on your team. Like literally every single day you have to recruit your own players, basically.
Yeah, no, it seems totally exhausting.
And be on the phone with 17-year-olds who are like, how much money are you going to give me? Mm-hmm. Like, you heard Nick Saban talk. Did you hear Nick Saban talking about that?
I did, yeah.
He was, like, basically saying the benefit of Alabama was you come, you get developed, you go to the NFL, academics. Obviously, NIL is as good as anyone. But literally the only thing the players want to know is how much you're going to pay me, not how you're going to develop me, what's like. And Nick said, it's not the only reason he retired by any means, but he's just more talking about generally about the state of it.
Yeah.
Roy Williams, we think, kind of similar situation.
Right. And the issue with that is it's not that we don't want the players to get money. It's that we don't want those other things ignored. And, like, I feel like if the schools were paying the players directly, then I think the amount of money that they got would be more comparable, and I think that would allow coaches to put more emphasis on development, culture, and those things that should be really important.
Exactly, yeah. Because, like, if I'm in a job interview, 1,000,000% I'm asking about salary, but I'm also asking about, like, you know, career development, whatever. And I know it's not apples to apples comparison.
Right.
But especially, like, Alabama, Nick Saban, you should be, like, kind of in awe. Obviously, you still get paid, deserve to get paid. But we're just getting to that point where they're going to be employees and get paid.
Yeah, which is good.
And that, I'm excited to see if, like, you know, five-star quarterbacks are, like, only signing one-year contracts and, like, let's say, like, a three-star gets offered from Texas. Do they, like, try to push for a four-year contract, but Texas only wants someone, like, a two-year contract so they can push them out of the building? Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be interesting. I'm excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. It's just so strange and unpredictable. It's hard to say what it's going to look like.
Yeah. So, RIP to Washington State. Should we talk about how bad our brackets are doing, or should we just focus on the Sweet 16? Our brackets are doing pretty poorly.
I still feel like I'm okay. You know, I'm not doing great. I'm in the 48th percentile, but I've got all my Final Four teams left.
I was in the 97th percentile until Nevada blew that lead to Dayton. And then it's just been a massive
just everything's downhill been downhill slide. From there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were up by like 17 and lost. And I was trash talking. I've been getting so many texts. I'm like, oh, you're like last in your own group or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
We're losing to our sister and our sister-in-law and our mom. I'm even tired of my little brother who just picked based on mascots. Like, this is truly the worst I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah, but like you're going, like he has, you know, more teams eliminated than you. So like you're going to catch
him. I'm going to catch him, yeah.
So like I'm looking at ESPN has this cool thing about like forecasting how teams can do. Or based on how well your bracket will do based on who wins. So if Creighton wins, you have a 60% chance to win our family bracket.
Wins the Tennessee game?
No, wins overall.
Oh.
Yeah, if Creighton wins the whole thing, you have a 60% chance to win.
Are you looking online or on the app?
On the online.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. I'm just on the app.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. If Marquette wins, I'll win the family bracket basically for sure. Other mama's favored to win every other scenario, basically.
So we're going to lose to our mom who won last year, I think.
I think Marquette could win. And even if North Carolina wins, I think that there are routes that I have to win. So,
yeah. Well, let's just go through the Sweet 16, and we'll go through the women's as well. But the Creighton-Tennessee game, that's the bottom one on my list. So let's talk about that last, because for me and you personally, I think that's going to determine who wins us, because I have Creighton in the national championship, and you have Tennessee in the national championship.
Yes. Right. I think I have Marquette in the national championship.
So you have Tennessee in the Final Four, at least.
Yes, yeah.
And I have Creighton in the national championship. So let's go through. So UConn-San Diego State, I had Auburn, so my bracket out of the picture. But big game, national title rematch. It's only the fourth time it's ever happened. UConn's favored by, I think, 9.5. They've been smoking teams. The San Diego State's looked pretty good. It doesn't seem like they have that national title hangover or a Super Bowl hangover that's kind of easier to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to them. Do you think they have a shot? Now, keep in mind that you adamantly dislike San Diego State.
That's true. So do I think I have a chance San Diego has a chance
to beat Connecticut?
To beat Connecticut. Hard to say. I don't know. UConn has looked very good. They've looked a lot of the number one seeds, really a lot of the teams just in general, won their first round games by quite a bit and struggled in round two. Not the case with UConn. And so I think there's a good argument to say they look like the best, most solid team in the tournament right now. San Diego State, you know, beat Yale pretty handily, but had a close matchup with UAB. Do they have a chance? Like, yeah, in basketball, you know, with three-pointers and, you know, just how much the game can sway based on who's making points, there's always a chance, but I feel pretty confident in UConn winning.
Yeah. What about do you think San Diego State can keep it within 10 points?
Because
UConn's been killing everybody.
Yes, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess I haven't watched either of the San Diego State games, so I can't really say too specifically, but just those general basketball things, like, you know, are they going to be able to get rebounds, take advantage of turnovers, second-chance points, those things that really flip a game? Because I don't think they're going to be able to slow UConn down, so it's just like, will they take advantage of any opportunities that UConn gives them?
Yeah. So, no, it sounds like.
That's what I feel like.
Okay. I think maybe this is just me being stubborn because I picked Auburn to win. My reasoning is just UConn's so good, defending champs. Everybody's been picking UConn. We haven't had defending back-to-back since, I think, Florida, 2006-07, which, awesome 2 years of basketball. So, I'm going to roll with San Diego State there. And that other game in the bracket, Illinois-Iowa State, I have Illinois winning. I have Iowa State losing to Drake, but I have Illinois moving on to the next round. Illinois, it's a 1.5-point game, so pretty close. Who do you have? You also had Iowa State losing, right?
I have BYU beating Drake, so okay. Neither of the teams involved in this game.
Well, who do you think then will win? Illinois has been good.
Yeah, no, I like Illinois. I think they've been more comfortable in their games, although I don't think either of the games that either team's played has been particularly close. I think Illinois has maybe a little bit higher ceiling. They're definitely scoring more points than Iowa State is. And so I think that's kind of what would push them over the edge for me.
Okay. And then Illinois, UConn, who do you have winning that to go to the Final Four?
UConn. I have UConn in the Final Four.
Going with UConn.
And so, yeah.
I'm going to pick Illinois. I think Illinois can legit beat UConn. San Diego State, I think, can maybe keep it close. Illinois, I think, can beat them. So it's probably going to be Iowa State.
Yeah.
Moves on. Okay. Next bracket in Los Angeles. We got Carolina, Alabama, and then Clemson, Arizona. We both have North Carolina. Did you have them beating Alabama in your bracket?
I had them beating St. Mary's.
I also had them beating St. Mary's. Alabama's good. Nate Oates is a really good coach. North Carolina, though, RJ Davis, best point guard in the country. I think point guard, I want to say, is the most important position at this point of the tournament. When he gets that look in his eyes and turns it on, the issue, when UNC plays, like, locked-in defense, they're as good as anybody in the country. That's just not all the time.
Right.
And Alabama's super good offensively. They're going to need to play that locked-in defense to beat Alabama. I think they do that. I think it'll be a good game and a close game. North Carolina's favored by 4.5. So do you think Carolina can win by 5 or more?
I think so, yeah. I think that, you know, experience, having seniors, I think that stuff really matters. North Carolina going to the national championship a couple years ago, I think, you know, I don't know about statistically, it feels like, though, they're the most experienced team in the whole tournament, a lot of veterans.
Age-wise, they're basically the same as the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
And two of those guys are from the national championship team are still playing. RJ Davis and Armando Bacot were starters.
Yes, starters on the national championship team, which means a ton.
And the nice thing, too, is on that national championship team, they basically had a 5-man rotation. Like, they would sub a 6th guy in, but basically they're all playing the whole game.
Right.
Now they go, like, 8 deep. And, like, they have their 5 guys, but they can rotate people. They have a bench. They can get switch it up.
Yeah.
And that helps just, like, with legs as much as anything else.
Uh-huh.
One of the other starters on that team, Caleb Love, Pac-12 Player of the Year for Arizona, playing Clemson, who basically nobody had at this point. So good for Clemson.
Yeah.
I think Arizona is one of the teams that can win a national championship. I'm really upset I changed my pick to New Mexico. I think Arizona wins comfortably. It's a 7.5-point spread. I would take Arizona, even though that's a lot of points. Again, great for Clemson. No one, including me, I think thought they would get this far. I really like Arizona, though. I think they're really good.
Yeah, no, just Caleb Love, just having all the experience that he has, and just like having a guy like that who can go score when he wants is so important in tournament play. So, yeah, I'm taking Arizona, too. I had them over Baylor in my bracket, but I'll take them over Clemson.
Zudu, and now we both have North Carolina beating Arizona. But that's my most looked forward to game, and I'm hoping that happens just to see Caleb Love against Arizona. It'd be entertaining.
Yeah, that I think might be the best game in the whole tournament if we get that. So that'd be a lot of fun.
Very exciting. I love Caleb Love. I want him to do well. I wish he wasn't in the same bracket. I'm going to be cheering for the winner of that game.
Yeah.
To move on. So we both got Carolina. Okay. South region. Houston, Duke, Marquette, NC State. I initially picked Duke to beat Houston in this matchup. I switched it because I had James Madison beating Duke in the last round, which was clearly wrong. I'm really annoyed at myself. Houston had an awesome game against Texas A&M. I think Shed, I might be mispronouncing his name. I apologize if I am, but Shed, their guard, just took over. Strong, get to the hole, shooter. Like, I loved everything about it. I'm going to pick Duke.
Okay.
I'm going to pick Duke.
You're just, because your bracket's gone, you're just picking all the upsets that you can.
Here's the thing. Houston, I just like Jeremy Roach a lot as a player. I think he's really good. I don't know. What do I know? I clearly don't know that much, so I'm just going with... I'm not picking that many upsets, am I?
You said San Diego State could beat UConn.
Oh.
And then you said...
Illinois beat Iowa State, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. I'm a big Duke.
Okay, cool. I'm going with Houston. I picked Houston. I had this in my bracket, Duke and Houston both getting this far. And so I'm gonna stick with it. I'm going to stick with Houston.
All right. Now, the other side, and I picked Houston over James Madison. So my bracket has Houston going, but my bracket is clearly terrible. So I would pick Duke there.
Okay.
Let's see what the spread is. That game is Friday. Houston's favored by 4.5. Do you think Duke can keep it within 4?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, the A&M game went to overtime, and I think we both think Duke is a better team than A&M is. And so that, I think, is the worry with Houston, is that I think that they can play with and they can beat the best teams in the country. But, you know, then, you know, they had a really awful showing in the in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah.
And then kept it close with A&M. And so, yeah, if Duke wins this game or keeps it close, definitely not surprised, I think Houston's a better team.
Good for John Shire, though. Like, replacing who a lot of people think is the best coach of all time.
Yeah.
Recruiting stays the same. He's in a position. They looked really good those first couple games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's as tough of a replacement as there's ever been. Roy replacing Dean Smith is arguably one.
For sure, well. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Roy didn't even replace him right off the bat. Matt Doherty kind of flamed out, which is, I think, not a good reason that Roy came back. But that just kind of proves the point, like, how hard it is replacing these guys. And, like, the expectation is so unrealistic. And while Shire hasn't won anything yet, recruiting is the most important thing. And I guess did we talk about Calipari last time? I think we did, the buyout.
I don't know. Well, because the tournament hadn't happened yet, so I don't know why we would have been bringing up the buyout.
You're right. Okay. Well, let's talk about Calipari then quickly after the bracket. But anyway, I think John Shire's doing a great job. I thought he was a really good college player. Obviously won a national championship with Duke in that Butler game. Okay. I got Duke. You got Houston. Marquette, NC State. We both have Marquette. Did you have NC State going this far?
I did. This is my best region in the bracket, I think.
I'm happy for you. So you have Marquette beating NC State.
I have Marquette beating NC State. So, the further Marquette goes, the better chances I have of winning our family bracket.
So you're all in.
I'm riding with Marquette.
That's annoying because I have Marquette in the Final Four, so I kind of want them to do well also.
Yeah.
So Midwest, last region, Purdue, Gonzaga. I had Purdue beating McNeese in this bracket. So not great for Jake, but I'm going to roll Purdue beating Gonzaga.
Yeah. I had Kansas beating Purdue.
First half was good against Gonzaga.
Yeah, and then just things kind of fell apart. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Purdue, like, they have, you know, one of the best three players in the tournament. A lot of people think it's clearly the best player, but, you know, I think people like us really like RJ Davis. But, yeah, I mean, Gonzaga has shown, like, a lot of people thought McNeese was the best 12 seed in the whole tournament. Most people, it almost felt like, as far as what I was picking, it felt like most people were picking McNeese, and then Gonzaga beat them really easy, and then they beat Kansas really easy. And so, yeah, Gonzaga definitely can beat Purdue. So, and I think I might stick with that. Maybe I'm still grumpy that I picked Purdue to win the national championship last year and they lost in the first round.
See, they're your, what team was I telling you where, like, I picked them to win and they lost super early and I've resented them ever since?
I don't remember.
There was a team, but that's Purdue for you.
Yeah.
Tennessee. Because I think 2 years ago I picked Tennessee to win the national championship or go at least go to the Final Four and they lost in the first round.
Yes, you were very, very excited about Tennessee.
Yeah, and then the
idiots.
I remember
that year.
Yeah, so honestly, that's why I picked Tennessee to lose to I picked Colorado State. Would have picked them against Texas just because of that same thing.
Yeah.
So that's your Purdue. Speaking of Tennessee, they played Creighton. For me and you, it's the biggest matchup. Creighton had another overtime game.
They did.
Tennessee's looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton Connect, I believe, that white kid.
Yeah.
Very good player.
Yep.
Creighton's got a lot of white kids.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if we... I don't know why we got on that tangent. But I like Creighton.
Yeah, well, this is... So basically, our brackets are similar enough where if Creighton beats Tennessee, you have a good chance to beat me. If Tennessee beats Creighton, I have a good chance of beating you, is what it's looking like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like Tennessee. You know, I know that everybody, you know, I understand the feeling of not wanting to pick them after having been so thoroughly betrayed. But yeah, I think they've looked very good. Close game against Texas, but Texas beat a Colorado State team really handily that smoked a Virginia State team. You know, beat St. Peter's handily, who are a good team. You know, they showed us that beating Kentucky a few years ago. And so, yeah, I'm still going to roll with Tennessee.
Tennessee is good. Like, the point guard, I think Zeigler is how you pronounce his name. Apologies.
Sure.
Like, I really like him. Like, and Rick Barnes, good Hickory native, Hickory, North Carolina native. You know who else is from there? Madison Bumgarner. Best World Series pitcher of all time.
That was a really fun World Series.
Rick Barnes is a fan of vinegar-based barbecue. So those are two strong pros. Honestly, I think the two most important things you can look for is being from Hickory and liking North Carolina barbecue.
Yeah.
So I have every reason to like them. I just resented. But McDermott's a great coach. I think they've been 3 out of 4 years of the Sweet 16, or 2 out of 3, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Which is great for Creighton. It's going to be a good game. 2.5-point spread. It's the closest spread of the games this week. Iowa State and Illinois is the other one. So you have, both of us have the winner beating Creighton, or excuse me, beating Purdue.
Yes. Technically, I have them beating Kansas, but yes.
Okay. Well, let's just say Purdue.
Yeah.
So either Creighton or Tennessee. So my final four then, a revised, not my official one, would be Illinois, Carolina. I guess we didn't do that, but we both have Marquette beating either Duke or Houston.
Yeah.
So Marquette and then Creighton. Yours would be Connecticut, Carolina, Marquette, and Tennessee.
Yeah, and that is what my bracket says, so that is still in the stars for me.
Well, I'm happy for you. My final four is alive. Everyone else just sucks. My women's bracket is not doing much better. Let's see, because I had an all Pac-12 final four, and I think Oregon State is still in. Yeah.
Yeah, no, mine, it's weird because I lost several games in the first round, and so I'm only showing up at about the 50th percentile in the country. That being said, all of my Elite Eight teams are still alive. And I only missed 3 games in the round of 32. So if things can, you know, go well for me, which I think they can, I think that I'm going to start moving up the rankings pretty quickly. That's my hope.
I got 6 out of 8 Elite Eight teams, all 4 Final Four teams. The big one, I have Oregon State beating South Carolina, so that's going to be tough.
Yeah, no, that's going to be hard. South Carolina looks really good.
But I had Kansas State beating Iowa. I think LSU or UCLA is going to beat Iowa. When I don't think Iowa's going to make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, I also don't have them in the Final Four. I have UCLA.
I had Duke beating Ohio State, so I'm pretty proud of myself for that.
Yeah, that was a good pick.
Yeah, and then I haven't beaten UConn as well.
Interesting. Yeah, UConn I have in the Final Four.
UConn's good.
So, yeah, that's going to be fun. Yeah, either USC and UConn I think could be a really, really great game.
Yeah, no, how fun it would be if it was an all-Pac-12 Final Four last year.
Yeah, just one last ride.
Yeah, now it's probably not going to happen. I think Oregon State over South Carolina is a big, big iffy there. But
yeah, it's a big ask.
So, yeah, mine, I got Oregon State, Stanford, UCLA, and USC, and who's yours? It sounds like they're all still alive.
Yes, South Carolina, Stanford, Connecticut, and UCLA. So I've also got a couple Pac-12 teams myself.
Both of us are similar enough where we did very bad in the first couple rounds, but all the teams we have going far are still alive.
Yeah, and that's how you win. You know, by the time the results from this last weekend aren't even going to appear relevant after this next weekend coming up. So
the Creighton Tennessee is going to be massive. I think we're going to be huge. Skyrocket.
Yeah,
I'm excited. It kind of leads us into the top. Oh, we got to talk about Calipari real quick. Then we'll do the top 5. Just because people are saying he's going to get fired. Other people are saying like, oh, there's no way his buyout is $33 million. Here's the thing with his buyout. There's no money up front, so like they don't have to give him like $20 million within 60 days or whatever. They don't have to do that. There's offset language. So if he gets another job, that would go away from the $33 million. Mm-hmm. So, and it's kind of like Russell Wilson's. So, or Jimbo's did not have it. So Jimbo's just getting his full money no matter what.
Right.
So for, and also Kentucky basketball is like a football school, money wise and
yes,
important wise. So I don't think they should fire Cal. It looks like they're not going to, but to say they can't because of his contract is just incorrect. They definitely can.
Yeah, I forgot to give Jimbo a contract with no offset is just like financial suicide. That's so crazy.
Well, this is why Lane Kiffin is so fantastic. Did you see what he did a few weeks ago?
No, I did not.
So Mississippi State's coach, Zach Arnett, and he was the replacement for Mike Leach.
Uh-huh.
He did have offset language in his contract.
Uh-huh.
So Lane Kiffin hired him as an analyst, making basically nothing. So Mississippi State has to pay him the full amount.
That's hilarious.
Lane Kiffin's my favorite coach.
Football. That is great. Yeah. So, no, yeah, with the offset, because, you know, Calipari, he's not going to get another he's not going to get paid as much at his next job just because his next job is not going to be Kentucky, Duke, or contract, North Carolina. Yeah. Right? And so, yeah, but the offset makes it very, very doable.
Now, let's just say, again, neither of us think he will or should get fired, but just for fun, who do we think would be good there? We brought up, me and you, Matt Painter's been good at Purdue.
Yeah, well, because, and the other thing is, like, I'm not going to pretend to know college coaches, but, like, because the only ones that I think, like, wouldn't want to leave because of their situation, I think Bobby Hurley at UConn. It's that Hurley brother, right, Bobby? Because there's a couple of Hurleys.
Yeah, because the better players at Arizona State, now I'm mixing them up. I think Danny Hurley.
Danny Hurley's at UConn?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, while you're looking at that, I don't think he would leave. I don't think Hubert Davis would leave at North Carolina. And I don't think John Shire would leave at Duke.
Danny Hurley's at UConn. Bobby Hurley's at Arizona State.
There we go.
Yeah, I don't think Bill Self would leave Kansas. Mark Few would probably not leave, but that'd be an interesting one.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, he hasn't won at Gonzaga.
Yeah. I mean, that's who I would try for if I was Kentucky.
Do you think how much money? I don't know what his contract is, and Gonzaga's a private school, so we probably don't know.
Right.
But $10 million, you think that gets it done a year? That's more than most any basketball coach.
Yeah, that's a lot. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, because, yeah, maybe he just wants to take one final crack at it, and Kentucky could be the place. Because, I mean, but at Gonzaga, like, he's able to get some NBA players. Like, he got Chet Holmgren, right?
Yeah, no, he's had, like, top players. They just can't win.
Yeah. So maybe he feels like he would get better recruits at Kentucky.
What's interesting in this Kentucky hypothetical job search is UCLA should be the best job in the country. Most national championship NBA players work out there all summer. It's in Los Angeles.
You know, maybe that could be good for Calipari if he can work his way to UCLA.
Cause when they hired Mick Cronin, he was like their seventh choice. I was like blown away. Like they couldn't get who they wanted.
Yeah. That does seem crazy.
So Calipari to UCLA, Mark Few to Kentucky. And then, let's say Gonzaga does open up. Is that a good job, or did Mark Few just make it a good job? Because it's in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah.
So the advantage is Mark Few.
Right. I mean, John Stockton played there, and he was, you know, probably not the number one recruit in his high school class, but he was like a number 10 draft pick or something like that.
Yeah. No, like, they've always been a good program, but they by far the most successful under Mark Few.
Yeah, they're punching above their weight.
Does that continue if he leaves? Would you, if you're, let's, again, we're hypothetical. Let's say you're Danny Sprinkle at Utah State. Would you take Gonzaga or Washington? Do you think that, which is a better job? Because Washington has a lot more competition. You're playing in the Big Ten. Gonzaga, you have a much better chance to win your conference every year.
Washington, yeah. I don't know. I would rather be a Gonzaga. Just
because of the conference.
Because of the competition, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think they'd take a step back, but they'd still be good. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I honestly, again, no, all this is hypothetical because we don't think Calipari's leaving or should leave. I think the most important thing is recruiting. And Calipari does that as good as anybody still.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there something that's wrong? Probably. Is the NCAA tournament fluky and maybe we're just on a bad little stretch? I'd lean more in that regard. Virginia's won like one game in the last 5 years that wasn't a national championship run in the NCAA tournament. Like something crazy like that.
It's hard to win games. Like half of the teams that go to the tournament win zero games.
Duke, I cannot believe this, but Duke hypothetically hasn't beaten a higher seed since 94. Like if so, like Houston would be a higher seed, like a one.
Interesting.
Like I can't believe that's true. 20 years.
They've been number one seeds a lot.
That's true.
They've had a lot of years as number one seeds.
Yeah. So it is tough. Or like even Izzo hasn't done anything. So I don't think Bennett should be fired. I don't think Calipari should be fired. But it'd be entertaining to figure out a little coaching carousel.
Yeah. I bet the people at Kentucky would really love Tony Bennett scoring 45 points a game.
Oh, man.
That'd be great.
That'd be funny. Well, let's get into our top five. Now, this is a subjective one, not anything official. I just did the top five, we've talked about a lot of schools, most overachieving schools based on, again, subjectivity, resources, location, like, should they be as good as they are? This is across any sport. Sometimes it comes down to one or two. Honorable mentions, Gonzaga's on there, just because they're, again, Spokane, Washington, West Coast Conference.
Yeah.
Oregon's on there. Haven't won a national championship, which is what put them off the list. But small school in middle of nowhere in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Knight's obviously a big part of that. And then Vanderbilt. All their other programs are kind of trash, but the baseball team, top notch. Best program in the country.
Yeah.
So, honorable mention Vanderbilt. Now, this is no order, just because I wouldn't even know how to order it. But Boise State,
yes, football. Definitely.
Overachieving for sure.
Uh-huh.
I put Connecticut on there for both basketball programs.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I think that's probably true.
Close to New York, which is like the best basketball in the country, but they're also not in New York.
Yeah. Connecticut is a different thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I put Connecticut there. I put Utah because of gymnastics.
And not for football?
Well,
I think they way overachieve for football.
I do too. Like, I think most things they overachieve, but gymnastics, they're like, they just won the Pac-12 for the fourth year in a row.
Yeah.
It's by far their best program.
Uh huh.
Football as well. They're the most overachieving football program. Like, when we were growing up, they were a okay Mountain West team.
Right.
And now they're the Big 12 favorites.
Yeah.
They won two Pac-12 champions in a row. So Utah's on there. And then these other two are football schools, Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama.
And Oklahoma.
Yeah, those have to be on there for sure.
Those, when I did that Blue Bloods article, those were the two schools where it's just like they just want to win more than everybody else.
Uh-huh.
And they do.
Yeah.
So Boise State, Oklahoma, Bama, Connecticut, Utah. Top five most overachieving athletic schools.
Yeah. No, I think that list's good. I like it a lot. I think BYU for a lot of their sports, I think, deserves a mention only because they have a lot of natural advantages, but they also have a ton of disadvantages.
As many disadvantages as anyone else in the world.
Yeah.
And if we're going historically, too, those, like, 80s and 90s teams with Lavelle Edwards.
Yes, yeah. Like if this was in the 80s and 90s, then Lavelle Edwards, yeah, just for him alone, he would get them on that list for sure.
No, but all their Olympic sports are super good, BYU.
So many good Olympic sports, yeah.
And it is, like, the honor code, on top of everything else, just makes it impossible to recruit. Like, to the point where I don't understand how they recruit whatever they do.
Yeah.
So, you're right. BYU could have been, probably should have been on there, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but there's, yeah, no, I think that's a good list. After having been out to Lawrence, Kansas, I think that could be an interesting choice.
The only reason I didn't put Kansas is because, like, every other team is kind of trash. And
yeah,
they, like, literally invented basketball.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I should have at least put him an honorable mention because that did cross my mind as well.
Yeah. Was that was Dr. Naismith out in Kansas at all?
Yeah, I think he's like a professor at the University of Kansas.
Interesting.
I think. He's like he's from Kansas. I think he was like in Lawrence. Yeah.
Wasn't he from Canada?
Was he?
I thought he was from Canada.
I thought he was like a, I don't know.
I thought it was from Canada.
Let's look it up. Dr. Naismith.
Who else? I'm just gonna go through.
But yeah, they were. I should have put him in. Yeah, he was in Canada. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Kansas as far as like early basketball though is definitely very, very important.
Dr. Naismith, I just typing in Kansas. He died in Lawrence.
Yeah, so he's definitely involved there.
Think he's like a professor there or something.
Yeah, that's possible.
Professor emeritus at Kansas when he retired in 1937. So yeah, he coached and so but I should have put him on the honorable mention. You're right. For sure.
Yeah. I mean there's a lot of teams and I mean naturally just by overachieving, I think there's gonna be someone that you guys can comment that we've overlooked.
Yeah, you could argue Iowa because like the wrestling's like incredible.
Yeah, you know, Iowa I think is a big one.
Obviously the women's basketball, football's generally like a 9-10 win team.
Yeah. Nebraska's women's volleyball is very, very good.
Yeah, if they were better at football, I would have put Nebraska on there.
Yeah.
Historically, obviously, they'd be there for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, but like none of the Florida teams and or like it really Bama's the only SEC team. Bama has, other than like the Mississippi schools, probably the most naturally disadvantaged compared to all the other SEC programs.
Yeah.
And they have like twice as many titles as everybody else. Next week, we'll do the overachievers, or excuse me, the underachievers. A lot of places that are going to get a lot warmer than the overachiever list.
Yeah.
Give you a little sneak peek to that.
Should be good.
Appreciate everybody listening. We'll be able to do our final four picks next week. We're going to start getting into the NBA draft because that'll be April-ish, if not April by then. I'm going to Spain, so we will have to do the NBA draft stuff or NFL draft stuff because I'm going to be gone like leading up to it.
That's true. Yeah.
But next week we'll do the final four and we'll see what else we want to talk about. Appreciate everybody listening. If you're still here, I assume you have, but feel free to drop a 5-star review, subscribe, comment, blah, 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 whatever. All that fun stuff. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys next week.